This is the Pundits Podcast, sponsored by BetBright.
So, 11 points, that's now the gap between Manchester City at the top of the Premier League and Manchester United in second place. That's also 14 games on the spin for City. They don't really look like there's any sign of that being stopped. Is the title race over?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, we're only in December and I don't see Manchester City dropping an 11-point lead. I think Manchester United will probably get a little bit better. I think, I'm sounding like a broken record here every week, but I think having Pogba on the side for a while will make them a better team, make them see them win more games, but I don't see City dropping 11 points. I mean, this is a team that have won 14 games on the bounce, as you referenced there, so where are they dropping points?
Mm-hmm. What do you think, Stefan?
There never was a title race.
Wait, hold on. I'm pretty sure you said Man United were going to win the title about 2 months ago.
I don't think I did say that.
we'll have to go through the archives.
No, I mean, this is Pep Guardiola with an infinite amount of money, and he has amassed a conglomerate of talent that is unrivaled in England. As simple as that, really. I mean, Man United have star players, Chelsea have star players, Tottenham have star players, but all three of them don't have at least two teams worth of star players like Man City do. And Sunday was an example of the fact that without even playing that well, Man City can quite easily bat aside, probably without doubt, the second best team in England. And that's what England has signed up for now. Spain got sick of it, Germany got sick of it, now it's England's turn. Pep Guardiola is here to stay, he's going to dominate, and that might have long-term ramifications for what is always dubbed and marketed as the most competitive league in Europe.
Can't help but kind of sense that you're smiling / quite gleeful about this. Am I wrong?
You're still smiling now.
Can't help myself. No, I mean, it's Pep Guardiola's a funny one because he's obviously an outstanding coach and he has cherry-picked his favourite clubs with all sorts of money and he can really do what he wants, but no one really stops Pep Guardiola. They just kind of get sick of him, and after a while, the press get annoyed at him, the rival players, even at Bayern Munich, their own ex-players began to moan how boring it was that they won everything. So that's what Manchester City fans have looked forward to.
First world problems of the highest degree.
Exactly, yeah.
Let's focus more on field, away from Pep for the time being. Sunday's game in particular, were there any weaknesses in that City performance or in that City side against United?
Yeah, there's one weakness, but it's only a weakness because of an injury. Fabian Delph is the weakness at left back, and obviously the goal that Marcus Rashford scored came from a mix-up between him and Otamendi. Otamendi, I should note, has been completely rejuvenated this season. I don't see him as a weakness. It's Delph who is the weakness. However, he's filling in for Benjamin Mendy, who's one of the best left-backs in Europe. So this season, I still don't think that'll be enough for anyone to really make the most of in the Premier League. It's maybe in Europe that might be exposed. But I just don't see, as Stefan says, you know, at the weekend there, you've got players like Kevin De Bruyne and David Silva behind players like Aguero didn't even start, Gabriel Jesus, Raheem Sterling is excellent,
well.
Leroy Sané, they've just got so many players. And while I do think Manchester United, because obviously Manchester United are probably the closest to them, even though there's an 11-point gap, Man United, I think in a few players like Pogba and maybe Ibrahimovic, and I know he had an absolute stinker on Sunday, but Lukaku, I think, are comparable to the players City have. They've only got maybe three or four of them, whereas City have six or seven of them.
Yeah, I mean, the real strength in this Man City team is the fact that they don't rely on a Lukaku, they don't rely on a Pogba. They've got the three top assist players, assist creators in the league. They've got guys like Aguero who just kind of casually score more goals than anyone else. If they don't have him, they've got Jesus, or they've got De Bruyne, or anyone else. So that's how thin the margins are at this level of football. Man City, what they have over Manchester United is they don't have a reliance on one player. So Graham's right, the Man United probably look worse without Paul Pogba, but there's no one in that Man City team that you could take out who wouldn't be able to be replaced relatively, or with relative ease. And that's the real difference between Man City and Manchester United right now.
What does City do so well? You mentioned they don't rely on one player, but they obviously do a lot right or a lot well. What in particular separates them from the rest of the sides in the Premier League right now?
I think after the game, Pep Guardiola came out and he said that he's showed that his Barcelona style can work in the Premier League, which was always one of the, these mythical things, or it wouldn't work in the Premier League. I don't think he's quite right. I don't mean that as a criticism. I actually think this Manchester City team, look, I was never actually, probably the only person on earth, I wasn't a massive fan of Guardiola's Barcelona team, because I thought a lot of the time they were quite slow, right? Okay. This Manchester City team are in no way slow. Mm-hmm. That's the most impressive thing for me is, technically, I think this Man City team might actually be better than his Barcelona team, because they move the ball, but they move it at such pace. It's so quick in the final third, you know, between De Bruyne, all the players we mentioned, De Bruyne, Silva, Sané, so on, and all interchangeable as well. So that's the pace. It's Guardiola has taken his Barcelona model. Yes, of course there are things that he's carried over from Barca, Bayern, and City, but he's adapted it slightly. And I don't think it's just he's adapted it slightly to the Premier League. I think it's more to the times. I think now
Guardiola 2.0 then.
Yeah, Tiki-Taka's kind of died off a little bit. Now this is the adapted version of it, and it's frightening.
Well, that's a preposterous claim. But
which part?
The part where you said this Man City team are better than the Barcelona team that won, what, three championships?
Technically better, so. I said.
Well, they're not technically better because they haven't technically won as many trophies yet.
No. I mean, right, in terms of skill, technically better, well, like I'm controlling the ball with a single touch at pace.
They might be quicker, literally quicker, or they run the pace, but I don't think they're quite at those lofty heights yet until they prove themselves at that level. What I think Man City do, what I find quite intriguing, is that their shots per game are actually almost identical to Liverpool and Arsenal's. But they've scored maybe another 15 or 20 goals on both those sides. Mm. So they've got guys like Aguero, Jesus, even like guys like De Bruyne and Sterling as well, actually. They've all proven exceptionally clinical in front of goal. So, you know, they're not exactly creating more chances than their rivals, but these guys seem to be just far better.
And clinical, aren't they?
I know that sounds like almost like a cop-out or like a really oversimplification of things, but I do think their front lines is more clinical than other teams. And of course, they've got a fantastic defensive record as well. And then also when it comes down to it, they've got a better head-to-head. So even though teams like Liverpool might score similar amount of goals, or you might have other teams who have good defensive records, Man City seems to be able to just do everything better than everyone at the moment.
Well, that was my next question. You said there's a rejuvenated Otamendi. You mentioned they do have a good defensive record, and that was always a problem for any manager since they've come into Man City. I'm guessing the answer to this question will be there aren't really any questions over Man City defensively. They're now a solid unit. You would also say that Kompany's nowhere near the player he was even a couple of seasons ago. So what has happened that has made them a better defensive unit than they have been in previous seasons?
Well, one factor is the goalkeeper, who was excellent on Sunday. Ederson has, as we all know, Pep Guardiola puts a massive emphasis on his goalkeepers. Last season he didn't have a good one. Claudio Bravo couldn't play with his feet as Pep Guardiola wants. He is a poor goalkeeper. Yeah. I think he let through more shots than any other goalkeeper by a mile last season. Yeah. And Ederson, you know, is obviously good. There was one pass back, I think, from Kyle Walker yesterday, which was fired in at Ederson, and he had, I think it was Lingard and Lukaku bearing down on him on his goal line. Claudio Bravo would have let that slide into his net, you know, under his foot. He just took single touch out to the left, as cool as you like. So I think Ederson has been a big difference. But Guardiola is all about marginal gains with players, you know. Kyle Walker, I've watched him a few times this season. I think he might actually be playing better than last season.
And I think we've got to be honest, we were a bit like, that was mega money for Kyle Walker, and he's coming up trumps.
Yeah, he's playing well. Otamendi is a completely different player. Vincent Kompany is, you know, getting consistency. Obviously, injuries has been a problem for him, and Benjamin Mendy was playing really well before he got injured. Even Fabian Delph, I said he's the weakness, but he's still playing a hell of a lot better than he has in recent seasons when he's been a peripheral figure. So right across that line, he's improved.
Yeah, I mean, I think also there's the systematic change at Manchester City as well. You know, Pep very much likes to accentuate the positives in attacking football, and by that means he likes to control the game, and that means he puts less pressure on a defensive backline. I mean, I don't think Kyle Walker really has as many defensive responsibilities as maybe his counterpart at, you know, Manchester United or Chelsea or Arsenal. So there's that side of it too, as well as the fact that he's making individuals even better. The whole team is just dominating football games, and that obviously takes way more pressure off a backline.
Given there is such a large gap now, does this mean Guardiola can focus on, Europe, and the Premier League can maybe become, not the back burner, of course, you don't want to become complacent, but can they focus on doing something, doing some real damage in the Champions League with this?
Well, that's kind of the paradox of Guardiola is, and I don't want to put a dampener too much on what he's doing in the Premier League because obviously it's sensational. However, he was hired to make an impression in Europe with Manchester City. Now, of course, you want to win titles as well, but Manchester City have won two titles in the last 5 years. They've already kind of conquered the Premier League. It was all about Europe. So I still think that's where the real mark of Pep Guardiola will be as Manchester City manager. If he wins a title going the whole season undefeated, fantastic. You know, they'll go down as the Invincibles Mark II. But it's in Europe where City... And it's quite comparable to PSG as well. You know, the two teams, both backed by oil money, really want to make their mark at the top of Europe. I think they can do it this season. Champions League is as open as it's been for years and years and years, so I can't see why City can't win that as well.
Yeah, I mean, I know you guys are about to blow the klaxon, but this kind of brings up what happened at Bayern Munich.
I was actually going to try and ask the question before you got there, but on you go.
Alan McAnally of you.
Wow, that's a weird reference for a show. There's obviously the comparison and the contrast, the fact that, you know, he got Bayern Munich really ticking really well, but at the same time, that meant very little if they couldn't do it in Europe. And not only Bayern Munich, but there's also recent examples in English football where you have coaches at, say, Chelsea or even his predecessor at Man City. They could win a Premier League title, but within 12 months of that, they're out the door.
Or if you're Di Matteo, you could win both. Win the Champions League and it wouldn't matter a jot. So.
Yeah. Well, poor Di Matteo in the backwaters of Belgium national team, you know. But no, but the point I'm making is that, oddly enough, despite the fact that the Premier League seems to be the ultimate goal in England, it doesn't carry much currency in terms of actually allowing you to rely on it or bank on it when things get tough. So, you know, not only will Pep probably know that, and I'm sure when he came to the club, he was made well aware that the Champions, it's basically Champions League or nothing, you know, and I'll be intrigued to see if he does start resting players, because not only will he have to prioritise the Champions League, but English teams to the extent are at disadvantage because, you know, they don't take a winter break. The fixtures clog up a lot more than their compatriots or whatever, in comparisons at Spain, Germany, Italy, for example. So he'll have to contend with that for the first time in his career, and he'll have to then quite clearly prioritise one over the other, and then that's when we can perhaps see where he feels his legacy then lies.
You touched on it briefly. I think you both touched on it briefly. How this differs from previous Guardiola teams in Bayern and Barca.
Did he coach at Bayern?
I think it was you who told me that every week. I don't. Is there anything else apart from the? Obviously, they're moving the ball a lot quicker than they were at Barca. Compared to the Barca team. Is there anything else that's different about Pep's current side than he has been when he was in Germany or in Spain?
I don't think he puts as much of an emphasis on the fullbacks that he used to, which is strange because in the summer that was obviously a big deal for him to get. They spent fortune signing three fullbacks. And what I mean by that is Kyle Walker doesn't control the whole right wing in the same way Dani Alves did. And I thought he was going to be that figure. Kyle Walker obviously still bombs up. He still have any attacking fullback, but Dani Alves would often be part of a front four. That's how far forward he would play, and I can't speak too much about what it was like at Bayern Munich, but at Barcelona, Dani Alves was they shifted him from a defender to an attacker. He didn't actually seem to play much as a midfielder. He bypassed the two, and I think that's maybe a little bit of difference, and I think that's maybe where Guardiola has looked to he's just decided this time he's going to use his front players to provide the width. And that's where you see with players with Sané and Jesus, who at times take it in turns to stretch the pitch. That's a bit of a difference.
You maybe know a bit more about Bayern than Barca.
Yeah, I mean, what I'm intrigued by is the fact that when he came to Bayern Munich, there seemed to be a shadow over him in terms of who's his Lionel Messi. And he did try and figure out a system of working that. He tried to find players who could replace Messi, you know. He was obsessed with bringing in Neymar, never got him. Then he turned his attention to Ribéry, and he's like, oh, maybe I can turn him into number 10. And then
Götze.
Yeah, well, we never really took to Götze because he just wasn't the kind of player they actually wanted, you know. And so, and then he spent his entire time at Bayern Munich trying to find that tricky winger. So at Bayern Munich, his system was very much still, to an extent, trying to squeeze up that Barcelona system onto the Bayern team. And What I think the big difference between Bayern Munich and Man City is that even though Bayern Munich are a huge club, they didn't have anywhere near the spending power that he has at Man City, and he really does have an embarrassment of riches there, and I think that's the main difference. Is Barcelona team, despite what you might say, did rely on Lionel Messi? I mean, any team would, especially even this Man City team would, but it was built around that team. At Bayern Munich, it was built around certain individuals. But again, just to accentuate this point, there's no real focal point this Manchester City team, and I think that's the strength, and that itself, I think, is what differs between his team at Bayern Munich and his team at Barcelona. There's no Lionel Messi, but maybe that might be a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, finally then, it might be a bit early for this question, but I feel it's worth discussing anyway. Where does this Man City team rank in the terms of best Premier League club sides ever?
It's
after these 14 wins.
I know.
If they continue like this, they could feasibly be the best ever.
Mm-hmm. I think.
Better than that Arsenal side?
Yes, but I'm always the one who puts the dampener on that Arsenal achievement in that they drew a lot of games. I'm thinking more Mourinho's first Chelsea side, obviously a couple of the Manchester United sides as well. In terms of attacking just potency and how frightening they are, I don't see a team. We've said for weeks and weeks and weeks there's no way City can sustain this.
Christmas.
And they have an 11-point lead, and they're going to win the title this season. So yeah, they are on course for that kind of level.
Yeah, I mean, if they finish the Premier League title with maybe 11, 15 points ahead, then they undoubtedly go down as one of the best, if not the best. But I really do think, especially with the Premier League season, it comes down to what happens January, February, March, because that's when Champions League games start coming in, more League Cup games, and you pick up injuries, and then that's when teams start to drop points. So I'm not going to jump on the bandwagon just yet.
Thank you for listening to the Pundits podcast, sponsored by BetBright. We'll be back again next week with another episode.